You're going to love this. Just love it.
You probably will. Whether I will, different question.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
From
with
Pacifica
you.
Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, up in Oregon on 91.7 FM. KYAQ on the Central Coast at 106.7 FM Queso in Cottage Grove. In Lancaster, Pennsylvania on 93 FM WLRI. In Hawaii on 88.5 FM KAKU, the voice of Maui. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN 94.1 FM. And in Palenville, New York on 102.9 FM WLPP. And in Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Also, we are streaming coast to coast and around the globe, as usual, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR Revolution 99, Detour Talk, Radio Monterey, and Radio Sputnik, blanketing planet Earth 5 days a week. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, says me. If not some of the people on the Twitters over the weekend, well, we'll see. Well, we'll get to that, actually, I hope. We'll see. Welcome to the Bradcast, and welcome, of course, to Desi Doyen, who joins us as well today, as usual. Are you doing all right?
I'm going to make it.
All right, good. I hope so. I hope I do, too. you will be joining us a little bit later with another Green News Report. We took our second one last week off because of the final presidential debate.
Yeah.
Our coverage there. So we'll talk a little bit about the final presidential debate in our Green News Report today, but also a lot going on, a lot of green news going on.
As always.
Particularly pipeline protests all over, in the U.S., up in Canada, and everywhere else, and some news from China. So lots to look forward to there. Oh, and we get to find out how the EPA is to blame for Flint, Michigan's lead water crisis.
You'll just have to wait and see.
You will indeed. So we can look forward to that. In the meantime, this is a story that crosses both our environmental coverage and our election coverage, believe it or not. A federal judge has now approved the largest auto scandal settlement in U.S. history on Tuesday, giving nearly a half million Volkswagen owners and leaseholders the choice between selling their cars back or having them repaired so they don't cheat on emissions tests and spew excess pollution. U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer said the nearly $15 billion deal, quote, adequately and fairly compensates consumers and gets the polluting vehicles off the road as soon as possible. When we drive around sometimes, Desi, when we're on the road, we have a lovely Prius, so doesn't give any emissions out of note. All of a sudden you smell something and you're like, wow, something stinks. I bet there's a Volkswagen around, and you look up and there's one right in front of us. I swear to God.
They are a stinky car because diesel is a stinky fuel.
The German automaker acknowledged last year that about 475,000 Volkswagens and Audis with 2-liter and 4-cylinder diesel engines were programmed to cheat on emissions tests. Now, we've covered this story before, and now this is this sort of finalizes it as the federal judge approves this settlement. Under the agreement, owners can choose to have Volkswagen buy back their vehicle, regardless of its condition, for the full trade-in price of what the price was last year, September 18, 2015, I guess, when they discovered this situation.
Yeah, when they first were forced to acknowledge the situation. So, you know, to me, that is a so-so response because here these people have to get basically a new car. Mm-hmm. And so the trade-in value, you know, if you weren't planning on returning that car, then you know, maybe it'd be okay. It just seems kind of lame. Seems like they should pay a bit more punitive aspect of that. But that's just me.
They will also pay owners anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000, depending on the age of the car and whether the owner owned it prior to September 18 of last year. They have the Volkswagen has agreed overall to spend up to $10 billion compensating consumers, and this buyback could happen begin as early as next month. The settlement also includes $2.5 billion for unspecified environmental mitigation, and $2 billion to promote zero emission vehicles.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. But Blair Stewart, a 2012 Jetta wagon owner, according to AP, up in Palo Alto, California, said Volkswagen should have had to pay owners the full purchase price for their vehicle.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Basically because of the fraud. He says this is not enough to deter the kind of behavior that they did. Company still faces potential fines in the billions for penalties and criminal charges. It will also pay up to $324 million in attorney's fees, $8.5 million out-of-pocket costs, and has agreed to pay U.S. dealers up to $1.2 billion. And again, there is a reason I'm covering this, not because we're an automotive show, so hang on. The company said that they're going to set aside $18 billion to cover the cost of the global scandal. Or they had said that in April after this scandal erupted in 2015 when the U.S. EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, found that Volkswagen had fitted many of its cars with software that fooled emissions tests. The software recognized when the cars were being tested on a treadmill and turned on their pollution controls, but the controls were turned off when the cars were actually on the road. So the software knew when it was being tested, and it could give one result when it was being tested and a different result when it was actually being used on the road.
Completely undetected.
Correct. It took them years, I guess, to discover this problem. The EPA alleged the scheme let the cars spew more than 40 times the allowable limit of nitrogen oxide, which can cause respiratory problems in humans and so forth. So that is... Again, the reason I cover that story is for two reasons. One, the confluence of our environmental coverage, which it certainly fits into. But also the fact that the software was specifically written in a way to evade testing. You know, by those who were supposed to see if the cars were working properly. And this is a problem that comes back again to voting machines in this country. And what I have been talking about for so many years on this program at bradblog.com, and I'm going to give you an example of it in a moment. And there's a reason that I drive everyone crazy with this stuff. Because they're all driving me crazy with this stuff. Every election, we get back to the same goddamn issues that come up time and time again in every election. And we see the same stories both from Republicans and Democrats who are concerned about this, but they're not really concerned about it until it becomes election time. And then they quickly forget about it until the next 4 years, and the same nonsense comes up again. So, you know, we have been trying, we always try on this show, but certainly over the past week, we've been trying to debunk a lot of the nonsense that is out there concerning this election being rigged. And as Donald Trump is charging due to voter fraud and people voting 5 or 10 times, absolute and utter nonsense. At least not at the polling places. Maybe via absentee balloting. That's where fraud happens. But not at the polling place, not at the places that require photo ID to vote, as many Republicans states are now requiring in order to keep Democratic-leaning voters from voting. So his claims about that are nonsense. The concerns, however, about voting systems and voting machines are not nonsense. And not necessarily because they can or will be rigged. We certainly know they can be rigged. We don't know if they will be or not. And that's the problem. We can't know if they were rigged, many of these machines. And I've often talked about how that alone is a threat to democracy, what you're going to see after this election, particularly in close races. But even with, you know, just the way Donald Trump has been dealing with this election, oh, it's going to be rigged. You're going to have people yelling and screaming that it was rigged, and they are already doing so. And they've got some, let's call it, evidence to back them up. I'll get to that in a minute, too. But let me take you back to 2012, since I was trying to note that this happens every election, and we don't do anything about it, sadly. And this election, we've now got Democrats and the folks at the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission claiming that our elections can't be rigged. Our voting machines are secure, which is utter nonsense. They know it's nonsense because weeks earlier they were warning that our elections could be hacked by Russia. And I pointed out at the time, it doesn't matter who hacks it, whether it's Russia, China, Iran, the guy who lives down the street. You know, those terrible Koch brothers, that horrible George Soros, whoever it is a concern. And yet, many of the Democrats trying to give confidence to voters, understandably, are now saying, well, it could be, but it would be really hard. No, you couldn't do it. It'd be too hard to hack an entire election, presidential election. Well, maybe an entire presidential election, but not in some key spots. And again, not in a way that you still end up being concerned after the election whether it was manipulated or not. But anyway, I digress for a moment. Let me go back to 2012. Just about this time before the November presidential election, this was mid-October, at bradblog.com, we reported about Democrats, progressives, who were freaking out about a voting machine company tied to, at the time, Mitt Romney and Bain Capital. Over at freepress.org, they broke the story of Mitt Romney and Bain Capital Investment, a team involved with a group called HIG Capital. In July of 2011, that group completed what they described as a strategic investment to take over a fair share of the Austin-based e-voting machine company called Hart Inner Civic. Several tanker trucks full of political ink have been spilled on Mitt Romney's tenure as a vulture capitalist at Bain Capital, Jerry Bellow and Bob Fitrakis wrote at the time at the Free Press. A more important story, however, is the fact that that Bain alumni now raising big money as Romney bundlers are also in the electronic voting machine business. This appears to be a repeat of the infamous former CEO of Diebold, Wally O'Dell, who raised money for Bush while his company supplied voting machines and election management software in the 2004 elections. And in fact, it was confirmed by Lee Fong at that same time back in 2012 over at The Nation Lee Fong ran a story on crony capitalism about Tag Romney, Mitt Romney's son, whose father and high-profile connections present a number of troubling corporate conflicts of interest should Mitt Romney become president, as Lee wrote at the time. Another outfit documented article of these other guys to report on the HIG group and their connections to Bain and their takeover of Hart Inner Civic. And in fact, they did take over this company, Hart Inner Civic, which supplies voting machines across much of Texas and in a bunch of other states, including California, Colorado, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Texas, Virginia, and Washington. And so you have a voting machine, a private voting machine company that is owned at least in part by folks who are related quite directly to the presidential nominee, to Mitt Romney at the time back in 2012. And I was asked by some reporters about this and if I had a statement on it, because I know that I cover this stuff. This was back in 2012. And my statement in full was, once again, we're reminded of the dangers of the privatization of our once public electoral system. The company's ties, Hart InterCivics' ties to Romney, aren't the only disturbing ones we've seen with similar companies over the years. The fact is that nobody other than the public should have any sort of ownership or control of our elections. The proprietary voting systems now used in all 50 states, whether owned by Romney associates, a George W. Bush associate, as was the case with Diebold back in 2004, or even a company tied to Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, as with the Sequoia Voting System Company, which, as I reported at bradblog.com exclusively, lied about the tie to Hugo Chavez to public officials in Chicago when Chicago went and bought the Sequoia voting systems. Or we should also be concerned, I went on to note, the Canadian firm Dominion, which has since purchased Sequoia, and also immediately lied about the fact that the intellectual property of their voting systems, used still all across the U.S., is still owned by the Venezuelan firm, or at least it was back in 2012. Continues to be a grave threat to American democracy and confidence in U.S. elections. It does not matter who it is who owns these voting machine companies and back whether they are gaming the system or not, just the idea that they could, the fear, the concern that it instills in the public, as it did with progressives back in 2012 when they were concerned about Mitt Romney owning this voting machine company, or at least his son, or at least Bain Capital, or at least those who were tied to him. They had reason to be concerned. Doesn't mean the election is going to be hacked or flipped or controlled by these companies, but people have reason to be concerned about it. Progressives, in particular, back in 2012 with Hart InterCivics, back in 2008 and 2004 with Diebold, which was run by huge fundraisers for George W. Bush. They all had reason to be controlled or to be concerned whether or not Mitt Romney actually controlled the elections and was going to change results. Well, now let's move the clock forward to 2016. A petition at whitehouse.gov is titled here, "We the People Ask Congress to Meet in Emergency Session About Removing George Soros-Owned Voting Machines from 16 States."
Oh, my God.
When I checked this last night, they had already had about 60,000 signatures, or let's see, about 40,000. They needed 60,000 by 60,000 more by November 20th to get a response from the White House. Might be a little late by then, but the petition reads, "This man," I guess they're talking about Soros, "this man has been linked to a person's campaign who is running in the election and has a clear bias to one candidate. His ownership of voting machines in 16 states is a clear breach of integrity of our electoral system." Well, it is. Or it would be if George Soros had anything to do with the voting machine company in question. So let me give you an idea, because this comes up every single election, and I have to come in and speak to it and respond to it in every single election. Because apparently we are so goddamn stupid in this country that we don't fix this problem, so that we have either publicly owned election systems, or better yet, overseeable hand-counted paper ballots that nobody can say was rigged, because everybody saw the ballots get cast, they saw the ballots get counted. So let me return back to 2012 for a second. In that same piece about Mitt Romney, I also talked about folks on the right who were then, back in 2012, concerned about the false right-wing story that had been bubbling around in 2012, charging inaccurately that perennial Republican target George Soros owns or controls a company which will count 25% of the U.S. votes in this year's cycle. The exact same story back then. Now, at the time, it was being put out by right-wing radio clowns like Michael Savage and, of course, Fox News. It was completely false. But the general concern at its heart was not false. And that's what I spoke to. Now, at the time, they weren't talking about the same company. In this version of the story, George Soros owned secretly or controlled a Spanish-based firm named Seidel. Now, Seidel runs vote tabulation machines in other countries, but they don't run any here in the U.S. They are trying to get into the insane internet voting game here in the U.S., but they don't actually count any ballots. They did buy a company by the name of SOE, and that company runs websites which report election results for various public jurisdictions around the country, municipalities, counties, and states, and so forth, but they don't actually count any votes. They just report them. Now, a company that reports election results on election night could game the system. And in fact, there are concerns that that happened back in 2004. A company by the name of SmartTech, who took over the reporting of the presidential election results in Ohio, and in the middle of the night changed the server from Ohio down to a server down in Tennessee that is, in fact, that served all of these Republican websites. And this was understandably a concern. And again, this happens when you give up our, you know, what we do in our elections to private companies. I linked in the 2012 article back to Ellen Tyson back of votersunite.org back in 2008, a report on the vendor controlled, quote, undermining of U.S. elections. So we have been pointing it out, working with Ellen, going all the way back to 2008, 2005, the same story over and over again. Now, Soros apparently has no control whatsoever back in 2012, as I reported, of the Seidel company or of the SEO company, whatever that was called, SOE company. But people are concerned. They were concerned about Soros then on the right. They were concerned about Mitt Romney on the left and George W. Bush and Diebold on the left and Hugo Chavez on the right. All of these concerns. And here we see them once again, almost exactly in 2016 in a petition to the White House about George Soros owned voting machines. Now, you know, by the way, a lot of people may not even know who the hell George Soros is. I don't really know who he is, other than supposedly he supports a bunch of progressive causes out there.
Yeah, he's a billionaire investor, just like, you know, Warren Buffett and other billionaire
Except
investors.
Except he has more of a political bent.
He definitely does, and he definitely does help nonprofit organizations who also deal with the environment. So, yes, he does put his money into progressive causes.
Not quite as publicly as the Koch brothers do, however. They have just an entire
chain of
think tanks and universities and political groups and candidates that they support. Now, that doesn't make one better than the other. I'm just pointing out that there's, you know, a lot of concerns about George Soros from folks on the right. They don't care that much about the Koch brothers, you know,
it's almost like they're not being very objective about the criteria.
Everybody is not very objective. This time of year, especially, they're incredibly partisan. Obviously, you know, we're in the middle of an election, a heated battle. Well, okay. So they were saying that George Soros controls voting machines used in 16 states. Turns out he doesn't own or control voting machines used in any states.
Never has.
What they're talking about is the company called Smartmatic, which used to own the company called Sequoia. Sequoia has since been sold, yes, to a Canadian firm called Dominion. Now, at the time, we exclusively broke the story, and it was pretty remarkable at the time that Sequoia was, in fact, hiding its ties to Smartmatic. And folks on the right, again, were concerned about the ties that Smartmatic had to Hugo Chavez and his elections there, questions about his elections down there in Venezuela. And we reported at the time that, in fact, Smartmatic, the Smartmatic company, did own the intellectual property, some of the intellectual property that was used in Sequoia voting machines. And those Sequoia voting machines are, in fact, used around, 15 or 16 states in the U.S. And Sequoia was lying about it. And Sequoia lied about it to the city of Chicago. And we've got documents there. And I've got the president of Sequoia on a conference call admitting to this tie to the intellectual property of the Smartmatic company. So a lot of reason people even know about Smartmatic and their ties to Sequoia and so forth is because of my reporting back in 2010 or whatever it was when we had those rather amazing exclusive reports. You can still look them up at bradblog.com, of course. But Smartmatic has sold Sequoia. First, they sold them to themselves. Sequoia became its own independent company, and then they were bought by Dominion. And all the whole time, they still were lying about the fact that Smartmatic owned the intellectual property, at least to some extent, in those machines. It didn't give Smartmatic control over those machines, but it did allow them, if people wanted to sue the machines, to look at the source code or to look at anything like that, well, this company in Venezuela would have a say over that. Now, of course, the shorthand from the right wingers here is that George Soros controls elections in 16 states. And we've seen a whole bunch of stories about this over the past over the weekend. People were asking me about this on the Twitters. I was trying to respond to say that, to my knowledge, George Soros has no ownership of the Smartmatic company. And in any event, Smartmatic has no voting machines that are used in the U.S. Now, as it turns out, there is some relationship that George Soros has to the guy who now does own Smartmatic, a guy by the name of Lord Mark Malik Brown. He sits in the British House of Lords. Apparently, he's on one of the boards of one of George Soros's groups. He was formerly a vice chairman of Soros's investment funds, according to some of the reporting. Smartmatic has had to respond to this to say, no, Smartmatic is a privately owned company, and Lord Malik Brown's relationship to George Soros is tenuous at best. He has no investment in the Smartmatic company whatsoever.
He knows a guy.
He knows
who
a guy.
Owns Smartmatic.
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, Smartmatic has no voting machines in the entire United States. So, anyway, I tried to explain this because I am sympathetic. I do understand why people are concerned about this and concerned about the private ownership. Apparently, there was one of the WikiLeaks cables that someone found that talked about the Smartmatic company and their ties to Hugo Chavez, and then folks on the in the right wing blogosphere. Started covering this and claiming the election is going to be stolen by George Soros, and this results in this petition on the whitehouse.gov site. So dumb that it that this inaccurate reporting. Understandable, however, about the concerns, because we do use private voting machine companies in this country, which is insane. But it's not something that only happens, with Democrats, with Hillary Clinton, that George Soros is trying to steal the election. The same concerns were on the left with progressives about right-wingers stealing the elections via these machines. So I tried to explain some of this in a bit of a Twitter fight over the weekend with some right winger there. The nice thing is, despite after, two or three days of him calling me a liar and a hack and a quack and everything else and sicking his Twitter troll friends on me, it ended up with him actually going and reading bradblog.com and understanding that the reason he was concerned about this story in the first place was in no small part because of my coverage of this issue and my exposure of Smartmatic owning the intellectual property of Sequoia and so forth. And he actually put out a couple tweets. He said, and you never see this. You never see this on Twitter. He wrote, "I'd like to apologize to the Brad blog."
Wow.
"As I've already very publicly misjudged his character, I should set the record right. A more thorough look at the Brad blog and his backlinks leading to his site tell me I was an ass and too quick to judge."
Wow.
That never happens on the internet, does it? So it's the same story over and over and over again. There are reasons to be concerned. There are not reasons to either freak out or, claim that your opponent is stealing the election, vis-a-vis some, tenuous ownership of somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. I mean, if you wanted to be concerned about ownership of voting machines, you would look at, as I started this, in Texas with Hart Inner Civic, which runs those Hart Inner Civic often 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems all over the state of Texas. And that company being owned by Mitt Romney's people. So, you think you might want to start there. But no, it's only Hillary Clinton and the Democrats who are doing it. Unless you're a Democrat, in that case, it's only the Republicans and
Bain Capital.
Bain Capital who's doing it. Yeah, exactly. So it's not just the ownership of the machines, however, it is the specific machines themselves. And again, there are reasons to be concerned, as people are in the middle of freaking out. And I'm in the middle of trying to both help people understand that some of their concerns are justified. Others are not. And I hate to make it a both sides do it issue, but in this case, it's a both sides issue, both sides do it issue. And I will explain that and what's going on in Desiree's own home state of Texas and in a whole bunch of other states right after this. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't go away.
Tuesday in November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had a water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Was sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went. They lost.
Yes, they're losing votes again all over the country. They actually are. I don't know that we actually found them in the first place on many of these voting systems. I'll get to that in a second. But I want to remind you, we had started the previous segment with Volkswagen and the fact that the software designers designed the software in such a way that they behaved one way when they were tested and another way when they were actually used. And one of the things that the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission has come out and said over the past week is that every machine is tested before it's used in the election. That is just not true. It's just not true. I talk to election officials. I talk to observers. Every machine is not tested. It would take forever, particularly in places that use touchscreen voting systems. A lot of times, unlike an optical scan paper ballot machine where there might be just one of them at the polling place, when it comes to touchscreens, there's so many of them. A lot of times election officials just, test a few machines randomly. And if that works, great. And if there's any problem, well, we'll deal with that later. So in any event, even if you test them, however, the machines can be programmed in a way that they can know they're being tested and show you one thing. But, do something completely different when they're actually used. That's why I call touchscreen voting machines 100% unverifiable voting. There is no way, there is no proof that any vote ever cast on a touchscreen voting machine during an election for any candidate or initiative on the ballot, there is no proof that any single one of those votes has ever been recorded accurately as per the voter's intent. It's insane that we use them, but we continue to do so. And as we do so, year after year or election after election, the same concerns, the same panic, the same allegations happen. And I'm going to get to some of those allegations in a moment, but I'll start here with Texas. Desi Doyen, we talked yesterday about your dad who went to the first day of early voting down in Austin.
Yep.
Said there was huge lines.
Oh, yeah, 150 people, several hours long, he said.
Well, apparently it's not only in Democratic-leaning Travis County, Austin, Texas. It's actually in the 10 biggest counties in Texas. According to Texas Tribune, multiple Texas counties reported record-breaking turnout figures on the first day of early voting on Monday. Some counties saw as much as double the number of votes cast on Monday as compared to the first day of early voting back in 2012. For example, Travis County had one of the biggest jumps, almost twice as many, 35,000 votes. 35,000 votes were cast in Travis County early voting on the first day, compared to just 16,000 votes back in 2012.
Wow.
We are seeing this all over Texas in one county after another. Huge turnout. And as your dad noted, a lot of young people were turning out.
Yeah, he was very impressed.
In Austin. But we'll see what that means, if that means big turnout for Hillary Clinton. I suppose you could have a lot of Donald Trump fans down there in Texas. Could also be turning out in droves. Well, early voting in Texas, by the way, that will continue through November 4. Election Day is November 8th, just by way of reminder, since Donald Trump told people it was November 28th at one point. It's actually November 8th. But with, you know, early voting now underway in Texas, and in fact, the polls showing that Texas could actually, if there is a big turnout, could somehow turn blue. I'm dubious, but it could happen. Well, Republicans, right-wingers at least, have a response to that. They know why the results in Texas could turn blue. And it is because of residents in multiple Texas cities who are already complaining that voting machines are switching their votes from Trump to Hillary. A few examples here. Gary and I went to vote early today. I voted a straight ticket Republican, and as I scrolled to submit my ballot, I noticed that the Republican straight ticket was highlighted. However, the Clinton-Kane box was also highlighted. I tried to go back and change it, and I could not get it to work. I asked for help from one of the workers. She couldn't get it to go back either. It took a second election person to get the machine to where I could correct the vote to a straight ticket for the Republicans. Be careful and double-check your selections before you cast your vote. Don't hesitate to ask for help, she says. I had to have help to get mine changed. Well, that's disturbing.
Yeah.
Good advice, however. More and more reports from a Facebook page charging this exact same thing down in Texas. People voting straight ticket Republican and seeing their vote flipped over to Clinton and Kane for some reason. The list goes on and on. And of course, they say, see how this always happens to Republicans. You never hear stories about vote flipping happening to Democrats, which is so ridiculous. If you read, you know,
if you remember, I don't know, anybody remember 2008 when Oprah Winfrey's vote flipped?
It did indeed. Yep.
I just have no memory whatsoever.
And 2004, we've got hundreds of incidents, stories of that happening to Democrats trying to vote for the Democratic presidential nominee and it flipping to John McCain, flipping to Mitt Romney. Well, they're concerned about that happening in Texas, and now they're concerned about it also happening in Maryland. News site called Political Insider. News site might be too strong of a word here, but anyway, Political Insider headline, confirmed by experts, voting machines in Maryland and Illinois rigged to support Democrats. And they tell the story about, when I first selected my candidate on the electronic machine, it would put the X on the candidate I chose, a Republican, but it would put the X on the it wouldn't put it on the Republican, but it would put it on the X Democrat candidate right above it. This happened multiple times with multiple selections. Every time my choice flipped from Republican to Democrat. Sometimes it required 4 or 5 tries to get the X to stay on my selection. That was in Maryland. One of the first states in the union to go to 100% unverifiable Diebold touchscreen voting machines back in 2002. They're supposed to be moving away from them to paper ballots, but apparently they're still having they're still using these crap machines made by Diebold. This also happened to voters in another county in Maryland on a Diebold touchscreen. This article, one of the reasons I say that it's not really a news site is because they're talking about Chicago, Illinois. A Republican candidate who was running in Chicago, Illinois, tried to vote for himself only to have the electronic Diebold voting machine cast a vote for his opponent. Well, they don't use Diebold voting machines in Chicago. They use Sequoia. See the previous segment we talked about. And by the way, as you note, Desi, that's where Oprah Winfrey had her vote flipped.
Yep.
From the Democrat to the Republican.
Right.
So, yes, they flip all the time. And the response is that this is just a calibration issue with the touchscreens, that they get out of calibration. They have to be adjusted. Well, maybe. Probably, I would say. Because if you wanted to steal an election by flipping the votes on a touchscreen voting machine, the dumbest thing in the world you could do would be to show it to the voter. There's no reason to do that. You can click on candidate A and have the machine record candidate B without showing that to the voter. So while people are very concerned about this, it's probably just the crap machines we use, not actually Democrats trying to steal your election, or, by the way, Republicans trying to steal your election. Here's a note I received from on the Twitters from Sandy in Durwood, who says, the Brad blog, just wanted to make sure you are aware that people are already reporting voter irregularities with early voting. Now, that wouldn't be a voter irregularity. The voter isn't doing anything wrong, but they are running into an irregularity. And she cites, warning, reports of voting machine irregularities in Ohio and in California. Check your vote before you leave. Warning, writes someone on the Facebook. Went to vote and hit the button for Hillary Clinton, but the machine automatically put the check mark for Trump. You have to take the pen that's attached to the machine and uncheck Trump and redo your vote for Hillary. Can you imagine how many people are not paying any attention to what the machine is doing? Please share this information, all caps, ASAP, from one of the sisters' page. So, this is the same story. As a matter of fact, Desi, we probably could have taken the day off.
We played an old show.
Run an episode from just before the 2012 election. And for those of you who have heard all of this before, I am sorry. I am sorry that we have to, respond over and over again to the same thing. So, no, this does not mean that the election is being stolen by take your pick, which candidate. But it does mean it could be stolen by take your pick candidate or their associates. Or it also could mean, as we have found, and I'm sure we'll be doing an episode on this, the machines just get it wrong. The machines are, because they're crap, they just report the wrong numbers. They do the wrong thing. The results that they report are not the actual, do not actually reflect the voter intent.
Remember Pamela Smith of verifiedvoting.org? Mm-hmm. She said, remember, computers are programmed by humans. Humans make mistakes. So, yes, mm-hmm. This faith that people have that somehow a computer is better in all cases is just not borne out by the facts.
No, it's not. And it's actually counter to the facts. It's contrary to the facts that these jobs are being, jobbed out to private companies. Whether they get it right or not, whether they game the system or not, whether their machines have errors or not, ultimately, it does not matter. Look at the mess that it causes. Look at the way people freak out on both the right and the left. For good or bad reasons. We're complaining about Donald Trump saying the election will be rigged, and yet we're giving all of this ammunition to people to claim exactly that. It's insane. It's an insane way to run a democracy. But that's what we do. And that's what we still do. And this is the mess we still have. And I'll still keep debunking the nonsense and underscoring the stuff that is not nonsense. Got a lot of both this year. All right, a quick break, and we're back with the Green News Report. Man, I'm Brad Friedman. Don't go away. Ah, yes. Desi Doyen's Siren Song. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Des, we've got a story here before we go to the Green News. Well, I'll do it after the Green News.
Okay.
From a senator who is in a very close race, who said something incredibly stupid, at least in my opinion. We'll get your opinion on climate change and global warming. We'll cover that after we get to our latest Green News Report.
If it wasn't for you people, that pipeline would have been finished. And I thank you guys.
More than 120 arrested at pipeline protest in North Dakota. More arrests at pipeline protest in Ottawa, Canada. Toxic gas pipeline ruptures, kills one in Nebraska. China further restricts new coal-fired power plants. Plus, EPA waited 7 months to warn Flint residents their water was contaminated with lead.
All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We're going to allow the Keystone Pipeline and so many other things to move forward. Tremendous numbers of jobs.
Well, 34 jobs may be tremendous numbers to some people. And you thought the Keystone Pipeline was dead. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, we took off a Green News Report last week because of the final presidential debate. But now that they are all complete, we are all shocked to learn that there was not a single question about climate change in the entire cycle.
I know. Not a single corporate media moderator bothered to ask any climate change question in the general election presidential debates. That's the second presidential election in a row in which the media has failed to inform the public about climate change.
Which just proves that climate change and global warming is not important or it's not happening. Clearly.
One or the other. It's got to be.
Yep.
Meanwhile, in Flint, Michigan's ongoing lead contamination crisis, the Inspector General of the Environmental Protection Agency has concluded that the EPA took 7 months longer than necessary to warn Flint residents about lead contamination in their drinking water supply. The IG report found the EPA had enough information and the authority under the Safe Drinking Water Act to intercede in the state's handling of the situation and could have issued an emergency order.
So this means it's all the EPA's fault?
No, but it does mean that the EPA needs to better train its regional offices on when they do have the authority to intervene.
So it's still the fault of the Republicans in Michigan who poisoned Flint's water with lead.
Sadly, yes. In North Dakota.
Water is life, and here we come.
At the months-long peaceful protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, Tribal Chairman David Archambault has now asked the U.S. Justice Department to intervene to protect citizens' rights to peaceful protest amid escalating militarized police response. Police used pepper spray to arrest at least 127 peaceful protesters on charges of trespassing and rioting over the weekend. Mm. Pipeline owner Energy Transfer Partners has resumed construction on private land along the pipeline's disputed route after an appeals court lifted a temporary injunction. In Canada, nearly 100 students were arrested on Monday in front of the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa for civil disobedience in protesting the proposed Kinder Morgan tar sands pipeline across Native American lands to British Columbia. Student leader Amanda Harvey Sanchez told the Ottawa Citizen they are holding Prime Minister Justin Trudeau accountable for his climate promises.
It's great to finally have a government that believes in climate change, but quite frankly, that's not enough. And the Trudeau government made commitments on the international stage to do doing its part to keep warming to 1.5 degrees. We cannot do that while also expanding the tar sands, and the Kinder Morgan pipeline facilitates tar sands expansion. So this pipeline is in direct conflict with our international commitments.
In Nebraska, some residents have been allowed to return to their homes outside of rural Decatur after a pipeline rupture leaked a deadly cloud of poisonous anhydrous ammonia on a pipeline that runs from Texas to Minnesota. The evacuation order, however, came too late to save the life of a 59-year-old man who unwittingly drove into the colorless gas cloud. The National Transportation Safety Board is now investigating. Finally, China is scaling back dozens of new and proposed coal-fired power plants. The State National Energy Administration announced it has halted several new coal plants in the midst of construction. They've canceled several proposed coal projects that had already been approved, and they said they will cap the total output of some of China's largest coal plants, all part of a new government effort to switch to renewable energy and wean the country off of coal, which still generates the majority of China's electricity.
And yet, Senator Marco Rubio, who's running for re-election in Florida, said that while he's willing to do stuff to mitigate climate change and the rising seas, he's not actually willing to do anything to stop emissions because he says China is going to keep emitting anyway.
They're asking me to support policies that will have no impact on the environment since China is more than making up for any carbon cuts we would do.
I guess he didn't get the memo that China is limiting their emissions in a much bigger way than we are.
Bigly.
For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Come on.
Oh, Marco Rubio. Oh, little Marco. He is, of course, one senator who is running and who has been saying stupid things about global warming, but also Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, who's in a tight battle with former Senator Russ Feingold, who's Feingold's progressive Democrat from Wisconsin, trying to get his seat back. On Monday, Ron Johnson said that he's not concerned about climate change at all because civilization thrives in warm climates.
Chuck from Green Bay says that science shows atmospheric carbon creates change. Do you believe that?
Well, first of all, climate has always changed, always will. For example, for the last 100 years, best we can determine, climate has increased by 1.7 degrees. Life expectancy has increased by 31 years. So, climate has always changed, always will. I'm just not an alarmist. We will adapt. And truthfully, let's take a look at facts. When the rise of civilizations in Mexico and Greece were occurring, it was 4.4 degrees hotter. You know, the kind of the zenith of the Roman Empire is 2.9 degrees warmer. So actually, civilization thrives. How many people are moving up toward the Antarctica or the Arctic? Most people move down to Texas and Florida, where it's a little bit warmer. So again, I'm just not an alarmist. We'll adapt. Obviously, man affects the environment, and we should do everything we can to maintain a clean environment. But you need an affluent society. You need a strong economy to do it. Let's not shoot ourselves in the foot with policies that President Obama said would necessarily cause electricity rates to skyrocket. That's called a self-inflicted wound. I wouldn't support those kind of policies. That's bad for Wisconsin families.
So that was Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, a Republican senator running against a Democrat, Russ Feingold. So Desi Doyen, and we've got some good news here with this second clip. That was Ron Johnson on WHBY up in Wisconsin on Monday. So we will adapt. Ancient Greece was 4 degrees warmer than current.
I'm not sure exactly what bizarre statistic. I think he might be referring to the medieval warming period, which was a regional, what scientists believe was a regional warming in the North Atlantic region. Which would incorporate much of Europe, and of course, there's also some pockets also like down in Central America, where ocean currents and the tilt of the Earth, the actual orbital mechanics of the planet, actually did create a slight warming effect during that period of time and a little bit after that. But I don't know if that's what he's referring to or not. But yeah, that was natural and cyclical. What we're experiencing now is most definitely not. That has already been figured out.
There seems to be Republicans to cite certain science in their responses, just not other science. And unfortunately, much of the certain science they choose tends to be completely made up BS.
Yes.
All right. So it's nicer. It'll be nicer if it's warmer. People move to Texas and Florida. So stop complaining about it being warmer, Desi. That's going to be nice.
Well, also, he talks about this idea that we'll adapt. Mm-hmm. How do you adapt to not having Iowa be able to grow corn anymore? Or the Midwest being able to grow
anything. You grow in the Arctic. That's how you adapt.
Obviously.
And you pack up your bags from Miami and you move north to where the ocean is not overtaking.
I'm sure the Canadians will be very happy to hear about all the adaptation that they're going to help us out with.
They're going to need to build a wall. That's all I can say. But anyway, the good news here is actually this position is somewhat greener than just a month or two ago from Ron Johnson when he was on the Glenn Klein Show on WRJN Radio in August, saying that climate is not warming at all.
Secretary of State Kerry says that global warming is as big a problem as radical Islamic terrorism. What would you say to the Secretary of State?
That he's crazy.
Crazy?
You know, first of all, the climate hasn't warmed in quite a few years. I mean, that is proven scientifically. So that's why they've changed the terminology from global warming to climate change.
Right.
That covers everything. The climate has always changed. It always will. But, you know, the whole climate change debate gives, and there are all kinds of quotes from adherents of and promoters of climate change. The
Scientists?
Reason they're doing it is it's just such a great opportunity to control you know, pretty much government.
But
control your lives. I mean, again, I don't know why they want to do it. There's an arrogance of power there. They're utopians. They really think they can create heaven on earth.
Okay, never mind heaven on earth. We're running late, and I want to get your thought on this, Des. He appears to be evolving because just 2 months ago he said that the climate hasn't warmed in quite a few years. And on Monday, he said, well, yeah, it is warming, and warming won't be bad. It'll be nice.
The ever-shifting opinions of a Republican in denial.
Evolving.
He believes in evolution.
He's evolving. He's evolving. Don't you understand? And in this case, it was a very quick evolution from, just about 2 months ago.
That was quick.
For Ron Johnson. He's getting there. So give him some time. Maybe he'll have a whole bunch of time to think about this after the November 8 election, because Russ Feingold is said to be ahead in that race, last I checked, although it is very close. So we will see. Okay, well, let's get out. And while the getting's good, my thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, of course, as always. And my thanks to you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, speaking to the latest George Soros nonsense, you can download it at bradblog.com for free. You can also get it over on iTunes. We hope you'll spread around the good news and give us a good comment while you're there at iTunes. It makes it easier for everyone else to find us. My thanks to those of you who support us at bradblog.com/donate. Thank you for stopping by there. If you want to drop me email, you can find me. I am bradcast@bradblog.com, and I'm also on the Facebooks and the Twitters, no matter what you want to call me. You can find me there as well. I am simply The Brad Blog. All right, until we meet again, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world!